In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Thursday, July 30th, 2015 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. By a vote of 45-12, the Executive Committee of the Boy Scouts of America has approved homosexual scout mentors for young boys. The Mormons are still an active participant in the Boy Scouts, and they issued a statement on the decision. The Mormon group said they were, quote, deeply troubled, and their century-long association with scouting will need to be examined, unquote. Mormons account for 20% of the Boy Scout troops, Methodists for 14%, and Roman Catholics for 10%. Christian parents should remember what Christ said. A disciple is not above the teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Britain's Prince Charles announced today that the world only has 33 years before there will be a catastrophic climate disaster. Previously, he had placed the deadline in 2017. Interestingly, there's been no increase of the global mean temperature in 18 years. This despite a rise in carbon dioxide levels. E. Calvin Beisner from the Cornwall Alliance challenges the so-called science used to explain these cause and effect relationships.
And the climate models on which he relies for his fears of dangerous man-made global warming are invalidated by real-world observations. On average, they predict twice as much warming as actually observed.
The beginning of knowledge is the fear of God, but there will be absolutely no fear of God anywhere in American public schools by order of the courts. According to a recent court settlement, one Georgia school district must pay $22,500 to the American Humanist Association. The crime? The high school coaches were leading students in prayer. The school district has also agreed to train all administrators in its 36 schools on the new standards to ensure a thoroughly godless and humanist education. Well, it looks like Christian pharmacists are the next targets on the list. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ordered a Washington state pharmacy to stock Plan B pills, despite the owner's conscientious objection. Apparently, the state has yet another, quote, legitimate interest, unquote, and providing its citizens, quote, safe and timely access to lawful and lawfully prescribed medications, unquote, in the words of federal judge Susan Graber. You shall not fall in with the many to do evil, nor shall you bear witness in a lawsuit, siding with the many so as to pervert justice. That's what Exodus 23:2 says. At least 12,000 Americans hit the streets in 65 cities to call for an end to Planned Parenthood funding. WorldNet Daily reports a rally in Washington that included Dr. Ben Carson, Senators Rand Paul and James Lankford, Representatives Marsha Blackburn, Andy Harris, Tim Huelskamp, and Chris Smith. Ex-Planned Parenthood worker and pro-lifer Abby Johnson told The Worldview that federal funding is deeply entrenched in Washington.
I think currently, you know, with the administration we have in place, President, and also our Senate, I don't think that they would ever allow for the defunding of Planned Parenthood at the federal level, not right now.
The U.S. Senate will vote on the Defund Planned Parenthood bill sometime before the August recess begins on August 10th. There is no stopping the flow of migrants from Africa into Europe and England. The last few nights, thousands of migrants, mostly from Africa, have attempted to ride trucks through the tunnel across the English Channel from France. Fox News reports 37,000 attempts in the last 6 months alone. The French Interior Minister calls this, quote, an exceptional migrant situation, unquote. An Ohio police officer has been indicted on murder charges for another routine traffic stop that ended in the shooting death of an African-American driver. The car was missing a front license plate. No more honking for Jesus at this drive-in church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Police have put an end to corporate honking, which was supposed to be a replacement for the congregational Amen. The American Mirror reports that this church is for those parishioners uncomfortable in crowds, and it has been in operation since the 1970s. This only happens once in a blue moon. When the full moon shines on July 31st, this month will mark the first blue moon since 2012, the appearance of a full moon twice in one month. And that's the World View in 5 minutes on this Thursday, July 30th, in the year of our Lord, 2015. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, your host, broadcasting from my basement out here in the eastern plains of Colorado as we monitor the demise of Western civilization, the breakdown of faith, family, and freedom, and the unraveling of a nation. And I'm going to draw on Proverbs 28:2 on this edition of the program. When a land transgresses, it has many rulers, but with a man of understanding and knowledge, its stability will long continue. Boy, that's got a thrust to it. Proverbs 28:2 pretty much speaks to the blessing of a nation that follows God's laws, God's principles. But when the transgressions of the land multiply, so do the princes, so do the rulers, so do the bureaucrats. And so what we're seeing certainly is exactly what Benjamin Franklin said when he said, either be governed by God or by God you'll be governed. That's effectively what Proverbs 28:2 is saying as well. And our founder certainly understood this principle. Steve Vaughn in studio with me right now. Steve, it does appear that America is right there on the cusp of disappearing. Certainly, the princes are multiplying. The lawsuits are multiplying. The prison time for Christians almost inevitable for the immediate future. And you know, if you're looking at socialism, the rise of government control of every aspect of your life, layers upon layers upon layers of bureaucrats, governing everything from health care to manufacturing to every element of human life on planet Earth. That did not exist in 1910, 1920, 1930. It's only been the last 100 years where we have seen a massive, massive increase in fascism and socialism and control of every aspect of modern life. This is the vision of the Platonic state. This is the vision of the Orwellian world of Karl Marx, and we as a nation have invited this to us. And the reason, of course, the transgression of the land. That's why Obergefell, I think, is so important. It brings two things together all at one time. The transgression of the land, the encouragement of the transgression of the land, and the massive increase in persecution and tyranny over this nation. So, Steve, we're going to take a look at how we as a nation have departed from the rules of our Constitution on this edition of the program. No surprise there. The Supreme Court of the United States has more and more ignored the original intent of the Constitution of the United States in favor of the growth of government. And I'm going to read a Forbes article in just a moment, but comments on the Constitution and the abrogation thereof.
Oh, my. As a speech and debate coach, I have studied pretty extensively the Constitution. I read an 800 and some page book on what called The Making of America. And it went through, the first half of it was just the history of how we came to this Constitution. The rest of the book was a line by line study from the founders. And it comes down to, the definition. And this was a question even back at the beginning. You know, what is general welfare? And is that enumerated powers in Article 2? Is it just those, several powers that are listed, or was general welfare just the general welfare of everyone?
Does that include condoms for 12-year-olds in schools in Elizabeth, Colorado, for example?
Yeah.
I don't think that was the original intent of general welfare, but it has been twisted and turned every which way. And you can, of course, do that with scriptures as well.
Right. And the original intent was that the local governments, the state and local and city governments, would be the ones that are doing the day-to-day things. Thomas Jefferson even said that one of his view of the state of the nation speech, he said it could be as short as, I think everything's going all right. Everybody can go home. They in fact, wanted people. They forced the House and the Senate to meet for at least 3 days during the legislative session because they thought that there'd be so little for the federal government to do that they had to meet 3 days just to make sure that there wasn't anything to be done, that the state and local legislatures would be meeting on a day-to-day basis, taking care of all the local things, not the federal government taking care of the local individual.
And the revolutionary actions taken by the Supreme Court of the United States most recently, even more problematic, probably more problematic than anything that's happened thus far, bringing about a major upset and perhaps the destruction of the nation.
And again, this is not me speaking, friends. This is the Supreme Court justices, the dissents in the Obergefell case. I'm going to go to that in the next section of this program. But first, this Steve Forbes article asking the question, does the Constitution matter anymore? And I've got another article from the Arizona Central where they're just simply asking, has the Supreme Court killed the Constitution? And that's the question I'm asking. Has the Supreme Court in the United States killed the Constitution and thus taken the rule of law away from America and turned us over to anarchy and revolution? Very, very possible. Friends, do not question that if the Supreme Court justices, the dissents, are asking the same question. And again, we're going to get to that in just a moment on this edition of the program. If you're an American, you're a Christian, and you would like to see Proverbs 28:2, the stability of the nation continue, if you want this nation to maintain its integrity, you don't want this thing coming apart and anarchy, blood on the streets, then you better listen to the remainder of this program as we talk about what the Supreme Court justices of the United States, the dissents, the conservatives, are saying about the direction that the Supreme Court has taken in the majority decision for Obergefell. But first, again, two devastating decisions, the first of which was led by, sadly, the Chief Justice, who was supposed to be a conservative, John Roberts, and sadly, oftentimes it's Republican appointees that do the worst job for us, including Tenet Kennedy in the second case. Remember, it's Republicans who are authoring these decisions and taking this nation over the cliff. So just keep that in mind as we move along in this program. But again, the Forbes article, Steve Forbes, editor-in-chief of Forbes magazine, speaking of Chief Justice John Roberts, again, authored this case in which he turned over subsidies to the federal government, but it was not allowed for in the legislation itself. So adding legislation to the legislation, and that, of course, not the responsibility of the High Court of the Land, the Supreme Court of the United States. Again, quoting from Steve Forbes in the article, liberal justices long ago adopted the attitude that the president should pretty much be free to do as he wishes if he's advancing modern liberalism. And that's really the way the court has gone since Roe v. Wade and even before that. Yet on June 28, 2012, Roberts, in a convoluted decision that would have caused him to flunk a constitutional law class, decided that the fines imposed for not buying insurance were not fines, but a form of taxation. You remember that in 2012?
Yes.
He paved the way for Obamacare to bring in socialist medicine in America. Again, probably nobody more responsible for bringing socialist medicine and abrogating that level of freedom in America than Chief Justice John Roberts, and once again, violating the Constitution of the United States. Roberts, the law rewriter, was at it again last month in the subsidy case. Yes, Congress didn't draft the legislation very well, but we justices can divine what the legislators really meant, or even worse, what they should have meant in the legislation. That is what Justice John Roberts did, was rewrite the legislation.
Yeah,
he didn't decide the legislation, he rewrote it.
Yeah, I like the allusion to baseball umpires. You know, back, I saw an article, it's been a while ago, that said that originally the umpires would say, you know, I call them as they are, and then it moved into, evolved into, I call them as I see them, and now, today, it's, I call them, and that's what they are. And so that's what the Supreme Court's doing now.
Yeah, we're gonna call it and define what happened by our own legislative fiat from the bench.
Right.
All right, so friends, this is what I'm talking about. The bigger issue is the Constitution of the United States hardly applies anymore, and we're going to point that out again with Obergefell and the dissents. I'm going to quote from more of the dissents. Wow, these guys are using hyperbole, it seems. You think I succumb to hyperbole from time to time? Hey, you ought to check out the justices of the Supreme Court of the United States. Be back in just a moment. This is Kevin Swanson. The program is Generations.
Parental freedom, medical freedoms, religious freedoms, substantial freedoms. Are they going away? Will America look like North Korea, Sweden, or Canada anytime soon? What is happening to religious freedoms in America? Folks, this is the issue as American Christians approach the 2016 elections. That's why the Freedom 2015 conference in Des Moines, November 6th and 7th. You won't want to miss the speakers, the challenge, the equipping, the celebration of liberty, the presidential forum, and the presidential straw poll. Your family, your church's future hangs on this. Register now at freedom2015.org. That's freedom2015.org.
We're back on the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson with you, also Steve Vaughn in studio, as we talk about the important biblical principle that comes from God himself for the transgression of the land. Many are the princes thereof, but by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. And unfortunately, we do not have men of understanding and knowledge running this country anymore, and that's why the state of this will not be prolonged. There will be less stability for our nation, and the nation will not be prolonged. Why? Because they're ignoring the book of Proverbs. Why I encourage the Supreme Court Justice of the United States to get my Bible study guides on the book of Proverbs. So far, nobody on the Supreme Court of the United States has ordered my Bible study guides on the book of Proverbs. However, many parents have. And friends, if you want to be sure that a nation is formed someday with some level of stability and leadership is developed for the future political states that our children, grandchildren will be a part of, be sure to get the Bible study guides on the book of Proverbs. This is God's book of wisdom, and be sure they have memorized Proverbs 28 and verse 2. But on to Obergefell. Question today on the program, has the Supreme Court in the United States killed the Constitution? Have they killed the nation? And have they brought tyranny to the land? That was the concern of Steve Forbes. Again, in this Forbes magazine article, his concern today, the focus of the Supreme Court in the United States is on the ends, not the means, which of course leads to tyranny. And the problem is tyranny. The rising tyranny will bring about more anarchy, which eventually brings about the unraveling of a nation, the destabilization of a nation. And that's why the Liberty Conference, the Freedom Conference, coming up on November 6th and 7th. And by the way, we are 3 days away from the deadline, the early registration deadline. We have a killer price right now that will extend to Friday of this week. You need to go to freedom2015.org and be part of that conference if you want to see this nation survive. And if you want freedom, if you want to fight for freedom and liberty for yourself, for your family, for your church, for your Christian brothers and sisters across the nation, tens of thousands of whom will be persecuted over the next few years unless we do something. All right, but now, back to Obergefell. This is, again, the National Review has pulled together a collection of the comments that were made by the dissents. That is the minority position on the Obergefell ruling that came down 2 to 3 weeks ago. And again, friends, as we read these dissents, again, it appears that the Obergefell ruling was as significant as the Dred Scott ruling that came in 1857. And here's just a couple of examples from the National Review article. The dissents are among the harshest, most dismissive, and most suggestive in the history of the Supreme Court of the United States. And as we read these things, man, I'm sort of surprised that Supreme Court justices didn't rise up and start shooting at each other. This is harsh language.
Yes.
I'm thankful they didn't start the revolution right there at the Supreme Court, you know, for the dissents going against the other five. But the kind of language they use, friends, you think I succumb to hyperbole from time to time? These guys, wow. Justice Scalia opines that the court has, quote, descended from the disciplined legal reasoning of John Marshall and Joseph Story to the mystical aphorisms of the fortune cookie.
Wow.
Scalia saying, yeah, whatever you guys are doing, it has nothing to do with law. Nothing to do with the law of the land. It has nothing to do with extending the stability, the endurance, the prolonging the state of the nation for even the next year or 2 or 5 years. You guys are just doing fortune cookie stuff. Now, does that sound like hyperbole to you?
No, I think it's just all kind of feel good. You know, I mean, just listen to what Robert said. It's like, well, we think this is what they meant, and so that's what we're going to judge on, not what was written.
Well, that's that's not the Obergefell. That was the other ruling.
That's
but
right.
In the case of Obergefell, Scalia, again, if I ever joined such an opinion, I would have to hide my head in a bag. Okay, now, hence, this is the dissent. These are professional colleagues on the highest bench of the land. Everybody understand the level of language used right now on the bench? This is the highest governing authority of the country. And this is the kind of thing they're saying about each other. Scalia refers to the majority opinion as nothing more than a naked judicial claim to legislative, indeed super legislative, power, a claim fundamentally at odds with our system of government. Ergo, you guys have launched a revolution. All bets are off. You have abandoned the rule of law, the rule of rationality. And it seems to me that what Scalia is saying here in the dissent on Obergefell is this is the end of America.
Yeah.
We're at the end of the rule of law as a nation. Friends, please understand, these are the dissents in the Obergefell case. These are the Supreme Court justices of the United States, the very highest law of the land in the most powerful nation in the world. Again, this is Scalia. It is couched in a style that is as pretentious as its content is egotistic. Betraying the pride that goeth before a fall as the court moves one step closer to being reminded of its impotence. Scalia, as I see it, is pretty much saying this is the end of America as we know it. Justice Alito notes that had the court followed its own precedents, it would have found that the liberty guaranteed by the Due Process Clause protects only those rights that are deeply rooted in this nation's history and tradition. And it is beyond dispute that the right to same-sex marriage is not among those rights. Okay, that's Alito. A little bit more sane, perhaps, but also pointing out that there is absolutely nothing in the Constitution enabling the decision that came a couple weeks ago from the Supreme Court of the United States. Like Alito, Thomas was concerned about what comes next. The court has undermined the right to religious liberty, which is threatened in myriad ways by the majority's intensely anti-religious moralism masquerading as jurisprudence. You remember Chief Justice Roberts said that this decision is no comfort to religious peoples or Christians right. in this country. No comfort. No comfort whatsoever. Get ready for the guillotine. Get ready for the stake. Get ready to be burned at the stake as Nero did to Christians when he married other men and engaged in homosexual marriage for the first time in human history, as far as we know, and then went on to persecute Christians. That's precisely what Obergefell was all about, my friends. Even Chief Justice Roberts, as consumed as he is with maintaining respect for the Supreme Court and its judgments, did what was unprecedented for him, namely reading a summary of his reasons from the bench. So again,
right.
this guy, and that's why I started with Chief Justice Roberts' compromise on the Constitution in the subsidies case for the Obamacare. But now, a week later, he does something unprecedented. He reads a summary of his reasons from the bench. In his full judgment, he notes that the court has taken the extraordinary step of ordering every state to license and recognize that which is contrary to what has persisted, quote, in every culture throughout human history. Yet the Constitution leaves no doubt that such a step is inappropriate. By taking it, the court turns the United States into a government of men rather than laws based on an act of will, not legal judgment. Friends, these are words condemning the Supreme Court of the United States on the part of the Chief Justice and the other dissents that the Supreme Court justices of the United States have ruled a revolutionary measure and thereby denied the rule of law and brought about what may be the most significant revolution in the history of this country.
He should have applied that same reasoning to the Obamacare and all of that, because he's saying we are legislating from the bench. And see, again, it goes back to what their definition of general welfare is, because they're saying general welfare is just for the welfare of the general people and individuals, not the overall country as a whole. That's what general welfare was supposed to be about. And so the enumerated powers in Article 2 do not include Obamacare, do not include same-sex marriage. That's what he was saying.
This summary of the dissents came from the National Review, and I encourage you to read the article, friends. I can't read the whole thing. Make no mistake, they say, the words of the dissenters are weapons thrown our way by defecting soldiers. If we don't seize them to fight, we will show we are now incapable and unworthy of self-government. In seizing them, we will be in good company. Responding to Dred Scott, Abraham Lincoln said, judicial decisions are of greater or less authority as precedents according to circumstances. This is Abraham Lincoln. That this should be so accords both with common sense and the customary understanding of the legal profession. And that brings up Liberty Counsel, Matt Staver's article that I think has made it to the Alabama Supreme Court. And the Liberty Counsel points out that the Wisconsin Supreme Court refused to follow the U.S. Supreme Court opinion in Dred Scott, which said that blacks were not entitled to full protection as citizens. So Wisconsin said, we're ignoring Dred Scott, okay, in 1857. Wisconsin said, we are ignoring Dred Scott. The Liberty Counsel brief urged the Alabama Supreme Court to protect the religious freedom of its citizens. Quote, Matt Staver here, there is existing precedent for a state's highest court to reject an unlawful mandate from the U.S. Supreme Court. That's Matt Staver. And friends, I'm here to tell you, our National Religious Liberties Conference will address these issues, including interposition, and these legal issues November 6th and 7th, if you want to see the future of a nation that protects freedom and protects some level of stability for its citizens, if you don't want this the Banana Republic and you don't want this the Soviet Union, the 2016 elections will matter. And yes, we have some responsibility to the task. God is sovereign, absolutely sovereign over what happens to these nations, and he may turn this nation over. But as I see it, now is the opportunity to attend a National Religious Liberties Conference where we will establish something of a vision, something of a strategy. We'll bring it from different perspectives. We'll bring in some of the most important legal scholars, Christian legal scholars in the country, to this conference, men who have been in the battle for 20 years. I'm talking about Liberty Institute's Kelly Shackelford, who's been on this program, and a whole lot of others. John Eitzma will be there, probably the most learned constitutional attorney in America, will be at this conference. This will be the conference. You want to defend freedom and liberty in 2016, this will be the conference to do it, and it's just a minimal fee. We're speaking to 4,000 people at this conference, but because we have this massive group of radio talk show hosts coming from around the country, we're kind of a little bit of a fellowship of radio talk show hosts ourselves, and that's going to extend the impact of the conference to 5 to 20 million American Christian conservative voters. And friends, if you want to be part of this massive uprising for this issue of liberty and freedom, which, by the way, has been protected somewhat and fought for in the Western world for 800 years. If you'd like to be a part of this legacy, I'm telling you, this is your opportunity. Come to the National Religious Liberties Conference held in Des Moines, Iowa, November 6th and 7th. And to sign up right now, it's freedom2015.org. That's freedom2015.org. And remember, early registration cuts off. It's only like $39 right now. Early registration cuts off in just 2 days. Freedom2015.org. Go there now. Register today. This, I think, will be important for your family. It will be an important legacy to leave for your family, and certainly a wonderful educational experience for the entire family, as well as an opportunity to make an impact on the 2016 elections. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.